Welcome to it. It is the first inaugural On the Bounce Awards right here on the Bounce Show. Episode 28, if you're keeping count. But the most important thing is that we're recapping 2024 in the most unique of ways with our own award show. On my left, I have Michaela joining us for the award show.
Bam!
No drum roll needed.
I thought it was needed.
We've also got Sandile as well. Makes up your esteemed panel of On the Bounce Show Award judges. Now, thank you to all of those who did vote in the social media post that we had for all our nominations. Basically, we're going to make this annual for various obvious reasons. Nice way to recap the year. The categories will stay the same each and every year, as we saw on the social media post. And then we have your input, the steering panel as you see today, and then we have the big winners.
Or
I mean, I'm pretty excited about this.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I think it caps off such an awesome year of sports.
Yeah.
Episode 28. Ben, damn.
I think Michaela needs a drink. On the left there, we've got a little Clippies and Cola. We all need to be drinks charged because we've got a fun way of going about this. So we're going to go through the different categories, right? So we've got Sportsman of the Year. We've got Sportswoman of the Year. Then we've got Team of the Year. Then we've got the Win of the Year. Then we also have the loss of the year. Mm. Yeah. Mm. We've got the comeback of the year. We've got the sports personality of the year. And then we also have the sport of the year. Mm. Going into sports meme subject of the year. We've got the guest of the year, which then brings it up. And all together with that, that will cover the On the Bounce show if you are following at home. So, Michaela,
let's do a final cheers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you want to have a cheers?
Yeah, we've got to have a final cheers.
That was a quick pause, Andy. Well done.
Yes.
You're too far away.
Cheers, my brother.
And if you are watching at home, of course, we are very much in the
cheers
festive season here, so cheers to you as well. All right, so
tastes like home.
Welcome to the inaugural On the Bounce Show Awards, brought to you by Clipdrift, because it is a show of that's gold moments from start to finish. We are going to start out with Sportsman of the Year.
Yes, sir.
Now, I've got to say, when I got to creating the nominees for this, it was pretty tough, because there have been so many. Now, as you would imagine, 2024 was an Olympic year. We had a lot of alpha athletes in and around the track, in the water, on bikes, on rocks, everywhere you
poles.
Could think.
On poles.
They were with poles in hand, correct. Guys who were then hitting poles with poles.
Oof,
I know. Little French penis joke right there. Following along. So we got to start with our first nomination for Sportsman of the Year, Leon Marchant.
Yeah, we raved about him in the Olympics. What a man with a pole, and waited for him to get over it. He was awesome throughout the Olympics, man. That was a special, special, you know, tournament for him, and he broke the record. We never thought he was going to be able to do it, so that was awesome.
What was your favorite event for Leon Marchant?
Pole vault.
He's a swimmer, Sandile.
I was about to say, we're talking about the same person. Guy? No, that's Armand Duplantis, hey?
Close, though. Really close. This is great to see that you're so
invested.
And I mean,
French guy, Swedish guy.
You're so invested in our first On the Bounce Show Awards. That's great. It's really great. So,
can we add this in, like...
That's going to be the blooper, isn't it?
So, the thing about Leon was that it was a lot of pressure on him because he was kind of like the face of the Olympic team for the French, right? Now, when you got a home Olympics, your home guys have got a fire. Otherwise, it's a little bit flat. So, Leon, 200-meter breaststroke gold, 400-meter individual medley gold, 200-meter individual medley gold, 200-meter butterfly gold, and then the 4x100-meter medley, the rest of the guys let him down, so he was a bronze. So, I mean, that's a hell of a record straight off the bat.
And no poles?
Not in the pool. Next nomination, we got Peter Steptoe, obvious reason there, World Player of the Year.
100%.
Numerous Man of the Match awards.
I know him.
This is a rugby player.
Yes,
I know him. I know him. Guys, y'all gotta let me go on that one. I really fucked it up.
So Peter Steph is a sportsman of the year because of what he did there. Now, the Box played 13 Test matches in this year, right? Mm-hmm. He played 10 of those tests and he was instrumental. He played 749 minutes of international rugby. So a pretty good nomination, right?
Yeah, led by example throughout as well.
Absolutely.
I think when he was tackling throughout the games, people got inspired by that. So Peter Steph was absolutely sensational. And I know him.
So, Mikael, I know you're a big favorite of this guy, Scottie Scheffler, the golfer.
Oh, yes. Love the way he swings that golf club and hits the ball.
So Scottie Scheffler had one of those seasons which makes him a clear nomination of a Sportsman of the Year. Right up there with Tiger's best. I mean, he had 19 events, 19 cuts made. He was outside of the 25 only twice. Mm-hmm. He made all the money, $30 million on the PGA Tour alone. He won the Masters. He won the Tour Championship, the FedEx Cup, all those things. And he won Olympic gold. And he finished the year world number one.
Yep.
Okay, so this is out of the park.
Now he's not going to beat the rest.
Tadej Pogacar. You guys know who this guy is?
Cyclist.
Yes, Michaela, well done. Not only that, but he's the best, okay? So he won the Giro d'Italia and the Tour de France in the same year. Now, that's kind of unheard of, because what a lot of the guys do is that they don't actually go in both, because it's difficult to do both. So they try and peak themselves for the Tour de France. This soak won both. Plus, he won the World Championships for road racing as well. Mm. He was so tired of winning that when the Olympics came around, he's like, it's cool. Got
Imagine
this.
I'm saying, not going to even bother. Yeah. Just going to put in my little just midsummer
gonna
break here.
Just going to rest right here. You guys do the Olympics? I've won enough already. Then we've got Letsile Tabojo.
That's my favorite.
He's our final nomination for Sportsman of the Year. Again, glittering record. The 200 meter Olympic gold. First ever gold medal for Botswana. But he beat Noah Lyles in Noah Lyles' main event. So Noah Lyles won the 100 meters.
Yep.
But the 200 is like his thing, his absolute thing. Yep. He also then helped his team get the 4x400 meter silver medal at Paris. And then the World Relays earlier in the year, they won the 4x400 meters in Nassau. Okay,
dominant season.
He had a great 100 meters in the final, 9.86 new national record. It was only good enough for sixth. But he was the World Athletics Track Athlete of the Year as well. Yeah. This is a fun fact. He is the fastest man over 300 meters. I know it's not really a race that they do, but
I was going to be like, who is?
This is how good the circuit is. He's a 300 meter world champion, basically. That's not like anything. He ran it in Pretoria, 30.69, and he's all of 21 years of age.
Wow.
So, Dile, if I was to say to you, cock on block, seeing as we're going to get back to this, the French guy again, who do you think's the real, like, deserves this?
Letsile.
You reckon that?
Letsile, I think. He went so under the radar-ish, and then for him to show up and beat Noah Lyles, the big, big thing about Noah Lyles is that he had made himself, you know, the biggest guy, and you know, in running throughout that season. But in the Olympic year, you kind of have to go for Olympian, and for him, his story is so great. And then Carlo Alcaraz losing to Novak was, you know, he would have been a leader for me, but I think Letsile for me is my one.
Yeah, look, there were obviously a couple of notable mentions that didn't quite make it. Carlos is one of them. Two Grand Slams, but did finish the end of the year on third in the ATP World Rankings and lost to... I mean, if he won that Olympic gold, he would have been in and amongst them. Every single one of these categories was very difficult to get down to a final five, but we have. So, Michaela, the winner of Sportsman of the Year in our first category on the 2024 On the Bounce show, brought to you by Clipdrift. That's gold. Who is it?
Leon... I'm going to not mess this up. Marshard,
close enough. Close enough. The great swimmer. So absolutely well deserved.
Oh, you an apology, Leon. Yep, shut up.
So absolutely well deserved. I mean, geez, and this guy's young, huh? He's got a huge future ahead of him. So he's very much our Sportsman of the Year. I would have loved to put like 5 Springboks in there, but no. I mean, no, this is a credible sports show, this. On to the Sportswoman of the Year. Again, another hotly contested category, this. Very difficult to get down to the basic five. And with Olympic year as well, like we said in the beginning of the show, you can just put this like full on Olympians, because there were so many, and so many athletes, so many superb gold medalists didn't even make the final five. So we're going to kick off with Sydney McLaughlin-Laverne.
Hurdler.
Have you ever seen a more incredible specimen of the female form?
She had a special season as a hurdler. She did well at the Olympics as well. So she's awesome. And I think, you know, it's a testament for where the U.S. Olympic team is going holistically in terms of their female runners. I was actually surprised there weren't more in this category. But let's see who else we got.
Well, how do you know? We haven't gone through the whole category.
I was just saying.
Jeez, you either know nothing or you know too much.
Shut up.
Right, so Sydney McLaughlin-Laverne, she was the 400-meter hurdles winner. What made this so special is that she was going to be up against Femke Bol. Now, Femke Bol is that Dutch woman with the Mickey Mouse voice. Now, she in herself is an absolute phenom, right?
Yep.
And these two don't ever race against each other because Sydney is America-based, doesn't really do the IAAF Diamond League kind of things, but this was going to be that massive showdown. And Sydney absolutely she ran away from everybody. It wasn't even remotely close. She set a new world record in the event. She then helped the team to the 4x400 meter gold medal, and she was named World Athletics Women's Track Athlete of the Year. Pretty staunch right off the bat here. Next nomination for Sportswoman of the Year, Nelly Korda. Basically like the Scotty Scheffler of the women's game. Killer. She had 5 wins in a row this year.
Yeah, she was killer on the course this year.
5 wins in a row, and in her 6th event she finished 7th. She finishes the year at world number 1. She had 7 wins in total in the season. Really, really incredible player. Simone Biles, she is nomination number 3.
It has to be there.
She had 4 medals at the Olympic Games. She obviously had like a really tough time in Tokyo. It didn't work out for her. She basically got like vertigo. Yeah. I mean, if you're in gymnast, you're jumping up and down, and you don't know whether you're going to fall back on your feet or not, quite disheartening. But she won a 2nd all-round title, and that's a really big thing. I mean, if you want to be the best gymnast in the world, that all-round title is like the absolute pinnacle. So she won that.
But not just that, her age as well. Yeah. Like, to be doing gymnastics still in her 30s when you're competing against people that are like
close.
I mean,
she's
27.
Nearly in then, the 30s.
With you, because you're so young, you think everyone's over the hill.
I mean, I'm sitting here with 2 old sportsmen. Oh, like,
I know. Yeah, so she's 27. And at the age of 27, she was phenomenal in Paris. Women's vault gold, women's team gold, floor exercise silver.
And she doesn't seem to be aging. She seems like she'll probably be around for another one if we go on current form. So she was spectacular during the Olympic season.
Another person from the Olympics was Faith Kipyegon. Faith Kipyegon. Now, Faith is, again, one of those incredible athletes in that she has a real pinnacle event. She runs the 1.5. She's a mile runner, middle distance runner. She won the silver in Paris for the 5,000 meter. And she came back in the 1,500 meters and she won gold. And she broke the world record. Her world record. She is like an absolute mensch when it comes to this. She is, I mean, it's basically her race.
Yeah.
So she's nomination number 4. And then our 5th and final nomination for Sportswoman of the Year was Aryna Sabalenka. So she is, wow.
And if you watch the Netflix special, you'd always have to back her because she went through so many trials and tribulations to get to how good she is right now. So that is my outright favorite just because, you know, we watched this on Netflix, but I hope Simone takes it.
Well, Aryna Sabalenka, she's world number 1. She ends the year on world number 1. She won the US Open. She won the Aussie Open. And she was named the WTA Player of the Year. So, I mean, it's about as strong as it gets here.
Yeah.
Michaela, as a woman, your final take before we reveal the winner. Who impressed you the most on a personal standpoint?
I actually only really know Simone Biles the best, to be very honest. So I think mine is more of a biased opinion just because I know her sportsmanship more. And she performed sportswomanship. I think she's a great gymnast. I mean,
yeah.
Crazy what they can do. I don't really... And Faith, I mean, oh my gosh, imagine running 5,000 meters.
Yeah.
I'd rather run myself into a wall. But the winner
Let's cut to that. And the winner of the woman, the sportswoman of the year is...
Come on, don't break my heart.
Sydney... McLaughlin.
That's wild.
LeBron.
I agree.
That's crazy.
She was incredible. She was the most dominant in the track. I think there's just something so special about her as an athlete, and she's still so young. She's probably going to the 2 Olympics in her. The fact that she's going to be hitting her prime for the LA Games of 2028. What an absolute superstar and our sportswoman of the year.
The face of disappointment.
I disagree, guys. How but could anyway, you we support you.
How okay. could you be disappointed in her as an athlete?
I mean... Sabalenka had a great season. And like I said, from coming off the season before, you know, but also in an Olympic year, I thought Simone would have come through higher. I think everybody's used to her winning. That's the big problem. You know, these awards, if we can't always give it to Serena every year, you know, so all right, whatever you want, move forward now. Call me Kayla.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously, the guy who put the most prep in here can have the most say and obviously throw it in my face like that, which is really cool. Let's move on to Team of the Year, right? Now, Team of the Year, again, there's so many different sporting codes for us to try and cover here. Then we've got the American sports. They're in a world of their own. We've got other things that classify as teams, like every Olympic country is essentially a team. So this is probably the hardest to get down to 5 finalists. But here we go. Option number 1. Nomination number 1. The Springboks, the best team in rugby, which isn't the greatest, biggest sport in the whole world, but they are the best. 13 tests played, 11 tests won, 2 tests they lost by a solitary point. 57 tries scored, 23 conceded, and three of those games were absolute clean sheets.
Yep.
450 points scored, 220 conceded, and three of their players ended up being Player of the Year nominations. That's pretty impressive.
Going to be interesting in terms of marketability of the sport. I've seen this as a big, big issue in this awards, so let's see.
Well, again, you know, the criteria was that we put it out on social media, we get various input from the audience,
yep.
We have a steering committee, and then ultimately a final judging process. It's a very stringent system that's gone through to get 100%. Us where we are.
Let's go.
Nomination number two for Team of the Year is the Spanish football team.
Mm-hmm.
They won the European Championships 2024. Yeah. They're currently first in their group in the UEFA No One Cares Nations Cup. And somehow they rank third in the world. I'm not entirely sure why they're not first, but I think Argentina's maybe sexier. Yeah. France is somehow second best in the world. But let's not get into that. Yeah. Solid nomination here. Solid performance. And that Euros was hugely competitive. And they won that. Nomination number three, the Boston Celtics.
Can't happen.
Can't happen.
Not on this show. As you know, this is a Laker show. Guys, please, please, it can't be them. I get it. It makes sense. They were NBA champions. They had an MVP and a Finals MVP. They played incredibly well. I understand why they're there, but principally, you guys need to be better than this.
All right. And then the fourth nomination for Olympic team of, a team of the year is the China Paralympics team. Again, that's quite a team because China's quite a country.
Yeah.
220 medals at the Paralympics. Shh. You know who came second? Australia. Great Britain.
Oh, yes.
On 124 medals.
Oh, wow.
96 less medals in total. The Chinese Paralympic team had 50 bronzes, 76 silvers, and 94 gold. Literally double of the next best team. I mean, they wasn't even close.
Yeah.
A team performance goes, that is huge. Fifth and final nomination for Team of the Year, it is the Kansas City Chiefs. An incredible, achievement for them because back-to-back NFL champs.
Shout out Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, going back to the episode where we talked about American sports, I get why they're in this award nomination. They had a great season. And once again, talking about, you know, what people are liking to watch now, it's great to see two American sports shows in the nominations. It's interesting, interesting. Patrick Mahomes, shout out.
Yeah, it takes a lot. All the divisional stuff, all the different conferences, those seasons are really demanding. I know you're probably thinking Man City could have been in there. Real Madrid could have been in
Chelsea.
There.
Chelsea.
Chelsea couldn't have been in there.
Could have Chelsea.
But now if you look at Man City and Real Madrid, they're not in there because the second half of 2024,
yep.
They've kind of, faltered a little bit, quite a lot actually.
Yep.
So those are your nominations for the Team of the Year. Michaela, the winner is...
The Springboks.
Yes.
Of course.
It's quite obvious. Yep. I mean, compared to NFL, what is that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, look, the nominations were really strong there, and you probably could think, you know, for absolute dominance, the China Paralympic team probably could have been the winners. But then the Springboks did it over the whole season, which we then go back to other things, you know, like you want a Sabalenka to win the female, the Sportswoman of the Year. Totally granted, because that's a season-long thing.
Yeah.
It's a season-long campaign of greatness. Olympics, though, can be argued that you're going for 4 years to prepare for that one week.
I wonder what we're going to do in a World Cup year. It's going to be so, so interesting. But Springboks was super, super dominant.
Deserving.
They won everything in front of them. Shout out to them.
Well, they lost the two games, but yeah.
The trophies. They won all the trophies.
All the trophies, you're right. Starting with the Qatar Cup, which was really important against Wales. And then everything from there. They don't have the Rayburn Shield, but we can't have it all in 1 year, can we? All right, so from here, we're going to go into two categories which are quite... Well, you can look at it both ways, right? We've got win of the year. So there's those great moments in sport. The object of sport is to win. But then we've also got loss of the year. So some teams, you know, it's almost interchangeable because you can look at a win and a loss in the same thing and want to celebrate it. But let's start with the win of the year. The big sort of positive things, right? First nomination for win of the year is Georgia beating Portugal 2-0 in the Euros of 2024.
That was special. I remember when we covered that during our Euro coverage, we were completely shocked beating a Cristiano team where all the hype was there. Shout out to Georgia. Pure underdogs on that.
Never ever got to the playoffs of any big tournaments. They'd never really been in these big tournaments. But by beating Portugal, they managed to get through to the quarters. Granted, they lost to Spain, like everyone else in that tournament.
Yep.
But it was a really big thing because Georgians are mostly thick-set men who just shift heavy weights. Let's be honest, they are. They're known for scrumming and picking up heavy objects, not being flair footballers, but they were. They were. Their counter-attacking ability in particular got them through in that tournament.
Never want to hear you say anything about somebody else's thickness or another group of men's thickness. Let's move on.
We're getting ready for the pole vaulters. Argentina versus the Wallabies. It was a game that everybody wanted to see because we thought it'd be quite close in the rugby championships in Argentina. The Wallabies had won the week before that.
Yep.
But for win of the year, nomination number two, it comes in the second test match, Argentina versus the Wallabies. The Wallabies were 20 points to 3 up after 30 minutes. And Mikayla, the game finished 67-27 to the Argentinians.
Yeah, that was...
I'm not going to lie, like, the Argentinians just came out of nowhere with, even against the New Zealanders. Like, they played well, they played with their heart. Naturally, if I was playing in a team that was losing 27-something, I mean, I would lose hope and lose heart. But, I mean, the fact that they came back like that, it's...
They redid.
Honestly, so, amazing.
Nomination for win of the year, Argentina over the Wallabies. To be fair and to be balanced, nomination number three, the Wallabies win over England at Twickenham. They were down and out. England just needed to put the ball into touch. For some reason, they didn't. Yep. Australia got the ball back, and they managed to win in injury time with a fantastic try to win 42-37 in a season where they were absolute dogshit. In a season where they were getting beaten by everybody.
Everybody.
To beat England at Twickenham, and not the worst English team, let's be fair. I know the results haven't gone their way in the last 6 or 7 matches, but that is a huge win, and there's number three nomination. Yeah. Nomination number four for win of the year, it is the series win of New Zealand's Black Caps over India. They whitewashed India in a test series 3-0.
And that's after they pumped us, isn't it? Yeah, so... New Zealand, where to put your hands up on that one? That's a huge win. We didn't expect that. Also whitewash, that's wild. Shout out, man.
So India hadn't lost a clean sweep since 2000.
That's crazy.
At 2000, South Africa did that to them. New Zealand hadn't won a test. Won a test there in 36 years.
That was huge.
That's like double Michaela's age.
That's like literally double my age.
I think for me, you know, it's a very long time. They don't get the marketability as they talked about this, but that was huge.
It was massive. Going
into India and getting that win. So that's probably my favorite, but it's probably not going to win.
All right. Well, we've got one more to go because counting to five is another skill that maybe has been left on the table here. Win of the year, nomination number five, Dricus du Plessis over Israel Adesanya.
There we go.
This win was so big because it galvanized the nation.
Yeah.
This win was so big because it was in Australia the same weekend the Bucks beat the Wallabies. Yeah. This win was so big because it was a genuine grudge match. Israel Adesanya, along with Anderson Silva, the greatest middleweights of all time in the UFC.
Yeah.
And Dricus got it done.
Who's the true African, you know?
Yeah. That was the thing. Ultimate underdog story.
Bigger than sport. Bigger than his sport. That was
Israel Adesanya's first ever submission loss in the UFC. It was huge.
Yeah.
So we know Sandile really wanted New Zealand over India to be the big win here. But will it be? Will it be? The win of the year for 2024 is...
I'm 0-2 already, so let's go.
Dricus du Plessis.
Yes, well done, Dricus. Win of the year. There was so much hype behind it. So much was hanging on this. Such massive stakes.
He became like literally a South African icon.
He did. So there's many wins on a global scale. I mean, you could actually then look at the Olympic gold medalists and their win. They're huge. Yeah. But you've never seen someone's life change more than a one win. You've never seen a sport that doesn't have a huge standing traditionally somehow envelop an entire sporting nation like this country. It was a win of a win of a win. It was so huge. And I think rightfully so. Win of the year, Dricus du Plessis over Israel Adesanya. So, on to the next category. Exactly. Now, dear look. The biggest losses of the year. And I think this is a category that has to happen because you can't win. You can't know success without defeat. I think someone famous said that. So, Sandile, the losses of the year. Again, tricky to get down to five in a category, but we're going to kick off with the Proteas losing to India in the T20 World Cup final.
That's pretty big. That's pretty
epic.
Big loss. It's pretty epic because they actually had us believing that we could beat India. In hindsight, are we wiling for that? Let's see.
27 runs needed of 28 balls
shanked
with 6 wickets in hand.
In true Proteas fashion, shank like a Sunday.
People like to say things like very on brand. That was a super premium version of what they usually do.
pure Proteas.
I don't even know how you'd even do that. The anxiety after that, the pain after that, it's just...
The will
it's
to,
worse
the will
than
to
supporting
continue.
United, you know?
Well said, actually. Well said. Sneaky little jibe there.
Yeah.
Look, Man United catching strays.
Strays for no good reason.
Okay, the next nomination for loss of the year was Liverpool versus Nottingham Forest in the Premier League season of 24-25.
Look, that was pretty epic. That was pretty epic, but the first one is going to be my leader for that one. I get it.
You're saying, you know, look, it was a big thing, because if you look how dominant Liverpool have been, right? Yeah. Top of the, or currently doing so well in the Premier League, doing so well in the Champions League. Nottingham Forest snuck one through there.
Yeah.
That was a big one, but you're
and
right.
But like literally from an underdog as well. Like I would have expected that against City or Arsenal or something, but the fact that it was from Nottingham Forest is I think what shocked us all.
At the time they were still in and about, Forest was still in and about the, you know, what happened. Does it beat the Proteas? I don't know.
Well, that's why we got nominations. Mm. Nomination number 3 for loss of the year. Sundowns loss in the Telkom Cup final.
Ooh,
they went down 2-1 to Magesi. Now, this wasn't one of those nervy 90 minutes. Somehow got to penalties. Somehow snuck it. They were beaten. They were fair and square. Beaten 2-1 in regulation play by Magesi.
In terms of magnitude, that is probably the biggest loss, because this is a team that's won CAF. This is a team that's won the league almost 6 times in a row, if not 6 times in a row. So a complete underdog. We've never seen any pedigree from that team before. I don't know how long they've even been playing pro football.
Exactly. And you're a learned individual, and that's what you would say.
Yeah, so I think that is my favorite right now.
Okay, so we got 3 down, 2 to go.
Damn, that's big.
Another loss of the year, Rory McIlroy, US Open 2024. Bogeyed 3 of the last 4 holes to lose by 1 to Bryson DeChambeau.
That happened this year? Oh, my God. That was a huge meltdown.
What made the L even worse is that he then had the biggest sulk ever. And he stormed off into his car. He said nothing to the media. There was even a tire screech. He could not get out of there sooner. The poor dude. He melted down like the Proteas against India. This is a strong group.
This is a pretty strong group, because I remember us covering Rory and thinking, like, you're such a bad loser. Damn. Okay, Rory.
Pretty big loss.
Maybe a strong number 2. Okay, let's go.
Final nomination for loss of the year, quite simply, Rodri. What a loss. As he went down, so did Man City. They've been a shadow of their former self since then. Rodri, to me, was maybe the biggest loss of the year.
As a Man United fan, you know what I want to say. That's probably the leader to me.
So, 5 incredible losses of the year. There can be only one winner. Michaela, who is the 2024 loss of the year?
This is a tight category.
The loss of the year was the Proteas.
They finally won something.
They won.
Well done, Proteas.
We'll send you guys this trophy in the mail.
Not the loss, not the win you wanted.
Yes.
But you got it done. The loss of the year.
I agree. Heartbreak.
I'm still pissed off by it. This was the year. This was the time.
And you know what? It's the hope that kills you, as we always say.
It's the Proteas that kill you.
Right there. We need a 26 of 28.
Anything can happen in cricket. Absolutely anything. And give it to the Proteas to fuck it up.
They did. Owed it. Okay, so comeback of the year. I tell you what, the Proteas are not in this
Mia
feature.
Made the Mia Khalifa joke
not
one
Mia
time.
Khalifa.
Yeah, Mia Khalifa had a great comeback. But no, she's not a sports person, although Sandile surely finds some sort of sport in her somewhere. All right, so comeback of the year. I mean, we all love a comeback, right? Yeah. It's that Cinderella story sometimes. It's the good come bad come good. Nomination number 1 for comeback of the year, Marnie Lebok.
That's, you know what, he knows how to control the field. He knows the play. He might not be great at kicking, but I don't know. I think that that's a good one. I think he's a great player.
But the whole point of a comeback is that there's dark and light.
Yeah.
He single-handedly had the chance to win the game in Argentina, and he lost it. Shot a goal, wasn't a particularly tough one. Missed the kick to the line out at touch. He missed that one. He basically ruined Sandile's weekend. Sandile told me a story, right, at his bar at Benchwarmers. Mm-hmm. As that game was coming towards an end, and basically what happens at any bar is that when the Springboks win, everyone's joyous. They spend more money at the bar. They have a lot more clip drift and coke. They have a good time. And what did Marnie do? He fluffed the kick. Sandile was there. He was about to press play on Nkalakakla. Mandoza was there.
Yep.
And Marnie fluffed it. And everyone stood around the bar like, now what?
Home time. I'm not going to give...
still bitter.
I'm not going to give Marnie anything. He hasn't come back. Guys, it's his job to kick the ball.
He came back the next time when they played Argentina at home. He ran the show. Box hammered Argentina. They won the rugby championship. That was his comeback.
Nope. So, that's a bailout.
So you reckon Marnie could probably fit into loss of the year?
Marnie,
if you are watching this, you need to go to Benchwarmers and order about 17 rounds of drinks.
Just please.
Just to balance the ship a little bit here. Otherwise, you're going to be in Sandile's bad books for life.
Yeah, I'll forgive you if you do that. But come back now.
Comeback of the year nomination number two, it is Simone Biles. Now, we did Simone Biles. We did say that in Tokyo, she really had a tough time. She had to withdraw from events. She was a shadow of her former self. To then turn it around, as Michaela said, at the age of 27, 32 minus 5.
Same thing.
To come around and then to win the goals the way she did, to be the dominant force the way she was, to lead Team USA to the gold as well, and the team, incredible comeback. One for the ages in the Olympics.
100%. And we always talk about things that are beyond sports. What her story is beyond sports. Her story is about real belief in your ability and just, you know, how important she was for black athletes and black young women coming through. So I hope she takes it because she missed out on the other one. But her story was beyond sports, and we've always been talking about those type of narratives. So that's a fan fave for me.
Okay, just to catch up here, Sandile's got Simone Biles over Marnie Libok in a variety of ways here for comeback of the year. Number three for comeback of the year, it is Chelsea.
Ooh. Yeah, boy.
Chelsea finished last season, the 23-24 season, sixth. Yep. They were 28 points behind Man City, who won. They didn't look like anything, right? So much so they're now playing in this embarrassing UEFA Conference League. Now, with their extreme squad, they're doing really well in the Premier League. Mm. They looked like a team you don't want to tussle with. They're exciting. They're fun to watch. They score the goals. Number three nomination for comeback of the year.
I know who has my votes.
A little bit of a hipster football one that was thrown in there. I get it. Do they beat Simone? That is the main...
That's the thing, huh?
That's the thing.
Dude, from a club that went through like 700 managers to now being top five
ownership.
On the log.
Ownership. But they also had...
Players turmoil. Going through 452 players.
They had the treasure chest. That is why I've got to take them down a little bit.
He is a hater.
But also he loves Simone Biles. But hey, that's fair.
Shout out.
Comeback nomination of the year, number four, the Blitzbox. Now, this is two-tiered because going into the Olympic Games, they were nowhere. They managed to sneak a bronze. They then started this new year. You know, they didn't finish after that. They started this new year, go to Dubai, get that title, do well. They didn't even get past the quarters. The very next week, nobody expected it. They won in Cape Town for the first time in 9 years.
Yeah, that was huge. I mean...
That's a big comeback.
We had written them off last week and... 2 weeks ago. Great win. Is it
the best comeback of the year?
Is it the
though?
Best comeback? Do you put it over Chelsea or Simone?
Or Marnie?
No, don't you dare.
Marnie's still not in your mix. All right, so the fifth and final nomination for 2024 comeback of the year, it is Themba Bavuma.
You guys know how I feel.
What a player.
I will start with the narrative. In the beginning,
there
guys,
was
what Themba has gone through as an athlete. He was dropped. He was blamed for the Proteas. Terrible form. Even though we know that
mostly you. Let's just be honest. Yeah, mostly blamed by you
and the rest of the press. He came back into the test team, played incredibly well, and showed that he is actually genuine class at batting.
Yes.
Maybe he's not a great leader. Maybe he's not meant to be in the front lines.
I don't think he should be burdened with it.
Yeah, and we've spoken about that before in terms of maybe other people should lead and he should just focus on his game.
I agree. Be a star player.
And that is why his comeback for me is probably my favorite because of what we all put him through as Proteas fans. He was even dropped, and that was... That was interesting. Post World Cup.
Keep the hate out of your head and to still push through like that.
To push through, it talks about the character in his mind.
It really does.
It says a lot about his character, it says a lot about his resolve. Yeah. And just from a pure technical standpoint, he's come back as a better batsman. He hasn't just come back with what he had and did well with that.
Yeah.
I feel like he's a significantly better player in this whole thing.
Yeah.
Injury layoffs, everyone calling you cuck, T20 T20 teams not picking you up? All these kind of things. Temba was against it, right? He must have felt like the world was coming back at him. Yeah. The Oak now is walking with an air of confidence. He's a whole different player. I love the fact that Temba Bavuma can be in nomination for comeback of the year. Yeah. But Michaela, there can only be one winner. And that winner is...
Fucking Money Lubok. I can feel it in my left nut.
Jeez, well, your left, that is wrong, because we're giving it to Simone Biles.
Yeah, yes. Come on. Well done.
Simone Biles, that is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, at the ripe age of 32.
27-year-old gymnasts just don't exist. They don't exist for many, many reasons. It's a young girl's game, gymnastics. It really is. Young woman's game. Most athletes at that stage, they passed it. Not only was she not past it, but she just came back and just... It was incredible. It was one of the highlights of the 2024 Paris Games.
Yep.
Nothing else to say.
Nothing else to
Worthy
say.
Winner of the On the Bounce comeback of the year.
I should have said Money Lubok just to get his reaction.
All right, guys. We're going to go to a bit of a different category here. This is the Sporting Personality of the Year. Now, this is quite broad. So much so that we're going to actually show some clips here. Get a little vibe. So, Rossi Erasmus... He is nomination number one for the Sporting Personality of the Year. Now, we don't have a Coach of the Year segment here because we have to kind of like rein in a little bit here. But Rossi is a sporting personality bar none in many ways, because great technical person, so entertaining in the media. What he does in press conferences, how he's manipulated his entire sport to get a tune out of his players like nobody else. He's a great online troll as well,
yeah.
Which is a really great thing to be. And it always looks like he's just absolutely having a jol.
Yeah, it looks like every time he's in those press conferences, he definitely has a brandy and coke in that cup. I'm telling you guys.
You feel like he does, because that's how a lot of guys talk after a brandy and coke. Yeah. Rossi's nailed it, though, and he gets it right. He keeps getting it right. He owns narratives. You go into a test match week, there's no scandal or any issues. Rossi's ahead of everything.
Yeah.
And even if there is something bad that happens, or there are injury woes or some other stuff, he's got this beautiful personality. The Springboks this year had all these like injury problems, right? To the point where Rossi even brought notes to a press conference to try and work out who the next Oak was. Yeah. Because they were down like 6 or 7 in a position, Rossi wasn't trying to like pretend like he knew everything. He was reading and going, yeah, look, I think this host got a chance. He's coming through. The team's been monitoring him. Another cool thing about Rossi is that, you know, Chasing the Sun 2, any kind of documentary around sports, about rugby, he is the heart and soul of it. So you can call him what you want, coach, leader, maverick, whatever it is. South Africa's godfather. Northern Hemisphere teams will call him other things. But for Sporting Personality of the Year, Rossi's up there.
Mm. No, he's up there.
Rossi's really great.
As you heard from Ben, he's trying not to show his bias for us.
I'm not. Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to be very impartial here. Number two in Sporting Personality of the Year. This is AI Gareth Southgate.
Just show the clip.
We do have a clip of AI, just to kind of give you an understanding of what we're talking about here.
What a special guy.
I thought we were pretty fucking wanked, to be honest. I mean, 5 shots against a war-ravaged nation like Serbia is embarrassing. In no small part to Phil Foden for doing his best Madeleine McCann impression for 90 minutes. I thought Trent was quite poor in midfield, so I've hired a pregnant woman to come into camp to fire him up a bit. I think we really missed Jordan Henderson's presence out there tonight.
I think conferences would be so much better if the like managers actually spoke like that.
So I think that AI Gareth Southgate is one of the best sporting personalities of the year. I know it doesn't exist and AI is quite new. You've got an incredibly dry manager. You've got a guy with an underperforming team who always flatters to deceive, I think is the phrase that best has it there. This guy's press conferences are terrible because he'll always say the same kind of shit. But the AI version is like what you'd want to hear out of Gareth Southgate. What you want to hear out of all teams that don't do so well.
Yeah.
And there was one of the big features of Euro 24 with these AI clips that came out of Gareth Southgate. Mm. And in many ways, he was the voice of English football that we all actually wanted. Yeah, so, worthy nomination.
No, he was awesome.
Worthy nomination.
Maybe he'll win some sort of trophy.
Sporting Personality of the Year nomination, AI Gareth Southgate. Going to golf. Sporting Personality nomination number 3 is Bryson DeChambeau. So, Bryson, as we know, he beat Rory for a huge win of the year to Rory's loss of the year. He's a huge figure on the LIV Tour. Mm-hmm. He's got the most amazing golfing channel. In many ways, Bryson's a YouTuber come golfer. He has a series that he's had out throughout this year called Breaking 50, where he's got a high-profile golfer or celebrity or sports person. And we're talking like Tom Brady. We're talking fellow golf pros. We're talking golf influencer girls. He even had Donald Trump pre-election. And the two of them try to break 50 together.
Quite huge.
That thing had like more than 3 million views, whatever it is. Bryson's got over a million followers, subscribers on YouTube. It is huge.
Wow. Yep.
So hugely capable on the golf course. He is a phenomenal player. Plus, he is this personality. He grew up like an absolute geek. The guy was socially awkward. He's really matured. He's become such an amazing feature of golf. And most recently, he had this little series where he wanted to make a hole-in-one over his house. Shout out to the size of this fucking house to start with.
Wow.
But it took him, I think it was 16 days. Every day he had a different shot, okay? So day one, he had one try. Day five, he had five tries. Day 10, 10 tries. Whatever the day was, he had that many balls to try and get a hole in one. So it hits over his house. There's a green with a hole, obviously. And he did it on day, well, I think it was 16.
I think he's just trying to flex.
Well, whatever he did.
Oh, be good.
I can do it.
Be good.
There it is.
Get in.
Is it? Let's go!
But what a cool guy. I mean, yeah. You can see he loves golf. You know, he adds so much. Fans love him. And even the ones that don't, they just can't actually, like, they can't deny the fact he's a force within the game. Yeah. And he's bringing new fans to it all the time. So Bryson DeChambeau, nomination number 3 for Sporting Personality of the Year. Sporting Personality of the number 4.
Got a deep breath.
My we man. All love her. She can't dance, but we all love her. It's Ray Gunn.
Do we love her or do we love to, like, nag her?
Oh, no, I'm not going to give her to her. No, can't.
So Ray Gunn, Sporting Personality of the Year, because of Ray Gunn's backstory, she was like the typical sheltered, indulged child. I mean, she's studying like modern dance or some bollocks like that. She managed to blag her way into like an actual Olympics as a breakdancer. She then thought for artistic benefit, she would wear like an old school tracksuit. She would then do moves that were like
kangaroo moves
and all kinds of other stuff. You have to be a personality to come up with the backstory and the spiel that this chick had.
Bad breakdancing is not a personality.
But it shows something here. And she had the confidence to pull this all off. And in the same year, she decided to retire from competitive breakdancing.
That's why we can't give it to her. That's why we cannot. People, I hope in your polls.
Oh, Reagan. She added so much to all the sports this year. All of it.
Yeah.
Okay. And the fifth and final. I mean, there she is. So this is her in the village. Everybody wanted to see her dance, right? She became a celebrity overnight.
She'd be throwing it here a little bit. She'd be going down a little on this one.
The funny thing is that Ray Gunn's impromptu performances in the village were actually better than her competitive performance in the Olympics.
Yeah, look, Ray Gunn.
All right. The fifth and final nomination for Sporting Personality of the Year is Jake Paul.
Has to be.
Well, he's a YouTuber, so that's where the personality comes from.
No. Guys, has to be.
You reckon Sporting Personality of the Year?
Outside of just the pure content of what he does, look what he's done with MVP promotions. He's basically become one of the biggest boxing promoters in the game right now. And he is probably married entertainment and the sport. He's really, you know, and we've always lambasted how bad boxing is, but we all watched, you know, the Mike Tyson fight.
You're right. People watch fights. They watched the Nate Diaz fight. It was crap, but they watched it.
So in terms of pure personality too directly to sport, I think he's one of the biggest ones now. Especially because he owns the business end and the entertainment value. So this year, especially after Tyson fight, I think he's winning it.
I don't know. He's my favorite. When I look at Jake Paul, I still think of Vines and I still think of like YouTube jokes. I don't really think of him as a sports personality.
That's crazy.
Like,
well, he managed to convince a lot of streaming companies spend a whole bunch of their money to have him doing...
That's what he's good at. Like, the YouTube thing. I don't know.
But that's the thing. He's done it within the realm of sport. He's created his own ecosystem. He's created his own parallel universe of sport, basically. Because if he were to be a boxer, he wouldn't get very far because it's difficult to get the fights. You sure as hell don't get the money. And it would have a lifespan. He created his own thing.
Yeah.
He's made a show of it, which I guess I see the personality.
Which makes him a fantastic Sporting Personality of the Year nomination. Yeah. But like every other category prior to this, there can be only one winner. We've gone through our five.
Come on, Jake.
The winner of Sporting Personality of the Year is...
Rusty Rasmus!
Yes, there it is. Well done, Rusty. Look, well done, Rusty. I mean, there's songs well about him. Countries fear him.
World rugby hates him.
Men follow him forever. I think it's fair that Rusty is Sporting Personality of the Year because you need a personality to get what he has got out of a team. A team that's already won 2 World Cups. They're better than ever right now. You need something so much more than that. He's going in places that no other coach has ever gone to within rugby. And I think if you're going to be critical, maybe in any other sport. So it's personality driven. Apart from all the technical stuff, Rusty Erasmus is the On The Bounce 2024 Sporting Personality of the Year.
We're not mad at it.
All right, guys, on to the next category. It is Sports of the Year.
Hmm.
So you think, yeah, it can't really be a category. How do sports perform against each other? Well, I tell you what, they can. They absolutely can.
They can because Ben says so. Yes.
Look, there's certain years where certain sports are just more memorable. Yeah. There's certain years where certain sports just get things right. So we've got 5 nominations for Sports of the Year.
This is interesting.
Starting with MMA.
Ooh.
Now, of course, when I say MMA, it's the UFC. UFC owns MMA. They are their own sport within themselves. Everything else just feeds into one day becoming the UFC. Their monthly events are good. They keep it competitive throughout the year. They take it all the way around the world. Their content that strings you from fight until fight is incredible. Yeah. They have a fight every single week. They have the monthly number events, which everyone talks about, but they got fights in Las Vegas. They got fights all over. They take the live experience to a whole new thing. First sporting event within the sphere in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
that's huge.
I think for this year specifically, they had a big marketing year. I think starting off with Drickus, that was huge as well. And, you know, I'm not a traditional UFC lover, you know, I think, but I got into it this year. So, you know, because of all these blockbuster moments that are happening, John Jones's fight as well. So I get it for this year. Big growth, brought in some new people into the sport. So, yeah. Okay.
No, I'd rather watch golf. Eh? Well, I don't know. I don't like watching two grown men touch each other.
But you're from the south. How can you not like fighting?
Oh, man. No, I don't. But that's just a personal thing. I don't enjoy watching men like.
So you don't watch the women either?
No, I don't. I don't like watching people fight each other. I grew up with it.
Okay.
That's fair. This is why we have a judging panel and a steering committee.
You must be a sadist or something to enjoy watching people hit each other. Do you know what I mean?
But it's like, more technical. How does
it? Look, people don't go, I hate you, I want to hurt you. It's like, I have all these skills. Yeah. I want to show my skills against your skills.
Yeah, and you know, I initially, when I thought about it like that, then I saw the respect element of how a lot of UFC fighters respect each other. You know, a lot of it is just marketing employ.
I know, but is it worth it?
Yes.
Like, have you seen how these men come out? It's like with the injuries and then the brain damage.
It's so worth
and
it. We need to do hard things in life.
Yeah. Next sport.
All right. Nomination number 2 for Sport of the Year. It is rugby.
Yay!
Now, rugby is a sport. Of course, there's sevens and there is 15s. Now, there are other sports that narrowly missed out in this category. And I will, for one, say that football missed out in this category. Rugby came into this year because of what it did in the Olympics. Because it was in France and because France won the gold, it gave them a bit of a blip, which got them into one of the final nominations. So the Rugby Championship, that was fun. Super Rugby, it's still happening down there in the shadows. The URC, it's a big deal. Then you get like the French Top 14, for example, the English Premiership, the Investec Champions Cup. And then it all culminates, which I thought was the best, in this North versus South end of year test matches. When the South, they come there with all their stuff, the North think this is their chance to beat them, and they don't.
No, Ben, give the real reason why rugby's in here. It's the only thing that brings people together for a bra. Then you can drink your Clippies and Coke.
Oh, yeah, product placement. Appreciate you.
It's a really good point you make, Michaela, because I don't think there's a sport. I mean, obviously, talking from a South African skew, I mean, we are obviously based here.
Mm. Yeah.
But there isn't a single sport in this world that gets people excited, more unified, and just gives them a will to get to a Saturday.
Yeah.
Even watching a game at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it is. And also, I think this year was a great year for rugby, especially Springbok rugby. We got a lot of games where we could come together. As we've said, sport is always about bringing in community.
Absolutely.
So I think, look, I was mad at it because I felt like football, there was a lot of rugby.
I'm going to pause you. Ask your girlfriend to name Springbok players and ask your girlfriend to name United players. How many players is she going to know? She's going to know more.
That's rough.
More
I mean, you
Springbok players.
Kelly, you could have said Bafana or Proteas, but the fact that you
went straight to United.
United. That was harsh, but I like it. I like it. So those are your two nominations so far, MMA and rugby. Nomination number three for Sport of the Year is Formula One.
Vroom, vroom.
Mm.
Get at me, Carl.
Now, I love this because it was a very competitive season. It was a season in which people actually cared about both the drivers and the Constructors' Championship. Constructors' Championship went right down to the end. McLaren finally won after all those years, and Max Verstappen had his own mini comeback of the year within the season to claim his fourth straight title. There were so many storylines. There were so many different dynamics that people care about.
It was more exciting as well, the show.
It was super exciting. And just like every good Netflix season and Arsenal season, you're looking forward to the next one.
I don't know about that last part, but what a fully loaded last part. it was exciting. And also a new beginning for F1. Because now Lewis is leaving, all of those type of things. But does it beat when Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton were competing two, 3 years ago? That's why I think it might not be the leader in terms of the other two. I think MMA is probably going to beat them in this category.
All right, fair enough. As you said, you know, some sports just have good years, and there's no doubt about it. 2024 gave athletics a chance to be there. Every other year in between these four-year cycles, athletics won't make this top five because
100%
Diamond League, IAAF, all those kind of things.
I only know the Olympics.
Yeah, it's not big enough. People only know the Olympics. But what a thing it is when you see the athletics on the biggest stage. Like I said it when we were doing the Olympic shows, I became completely enamored, or overwhelmed with how incredible track runners were. From the middle distance right through to the sprinters, they are built differently. The different skill sets, different kind of abilities that... it was just so incredible. Like, for me, the 400-meter hurdles where Sydney, McLaughlin, and Lavrone won it, to see what an absolute thoroughbred... Like, I'm fascinated by the mechanics of humans and potential, physical potential. Yeah. And you look at her, you think, like, that's a real athlete.
Yeah.
And you look at all the other sort of track runners that came into it, and then down to the sprinters... You watch them because you know you'll never be them.
Yeah.
I can watch golfers. I can even look at certain rugby players and identify kind of physically similar.
That's crazy. Is that going to be nice?
Did you say that?
Shut up, brother.
If anyone watches cricket, I can look like some of those guys. I cannot look like... There's the point of what I'm saying here is that they are superhumans.
Yeah.
I can't get close to them in any way, shape, or form at any stage of my life. These are superhuman people, which gives athletics... such an amazing chance.
Also, what's so special about athletics besides MMA is like it's individual, it's on you, it's your training, it's your mindset.
It all comes down to this.
Yeah, so like when you think of sports, you think of teams, but athletics is literally one of the main sports where it's all on you.
So much. And then, like, you know, there's so many different things people say, like Usain Bolt trained 4 years for 9 seconds.
Yeah.
There's all of these great sort of storylines. Netflix had obviously the sprint thing, which gave extra gravitas towards all of this. Mm. And then there's always the whole thing that there's so few sports that can balance male and female so well. Tennis had got up and down with that.
Yeah, that's athletics.
But athletics, the women's events were as exciting as the men's events. Yeah. And you know, I'm not one to give false merit out there. Yeah. I look forward to both codes. I look forward to the women's 400 meter runners more than the men's. I just thought that was more interesting. So there was always just so much to look into for athletics. I think it's a great year for them.
I think athletics might take it because
we got the nomination for them.
We got the OG rivalries back, America versus Jamaica, and they really were competing this year on both sides, male and females. Letsela's story coming through with the winning.
But the African story is coming through. South Africa getting a silver medal in the relay.
You're missing the most important part.
Having the best
looking people in the world in one place, watching them all at one time.
Okay.
No, you start right there.
Yeah.
Again, I can't be those people. Yeah. I've made that point.
And then like God's finest people.
And then for me, the ultimate win for that, for athletics, is probably the best 100 meters we've ever watched.
Completely agree.
So I think...
The fact that Toboho ran, I mean, he's an athlete, right? Yeah. He ran his best time ever. He finished sixth.
And that's like African record. Oof.
Akani ran the best race of his life, didn't podium.
Jesus. So that was the best 100.
It was crazy. It was so amazing. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, if aliens came into this world right now and said, show us your best, we'd go to athletics and we'd pick all of those people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Incredible sport, incredible year for it. Fifth and final nomination for sport of the year, it is golf.
No.
Guys, on every level.
I feel like that's so biased.
Unfortunately, you cannot fight how incredible golf has been and this how it year. Continues to grow.
This year.
It's been a great year for it. Firstly,
I won't hate on it.
It featured at the Olympics. Scottie Scheffler's gold medal was one of the greatest golf tournaments ever seen.
Can you tell who plays golf?
The Netflix series goes from strength to strength. We've got the DP World Tour going to new heights. The LIV Tour is taking on so much new market share within that. The PGA Tour is fighting back. The personalities within this are coming to life. There is now, for the first time in a long time, a legit post-Tiger world. Because it was all about getting Tiger, wheeling him out with all his injuries. But now, the sport of golf is standing on its own 2 feet by itself. And there is the genre on YouTube with golf and golf content, golf influences, golf travel, golf. It's just, if you guys got out of your own bubbles in this world.
Come on, Ben.
Guys, it's a huge sport.
You could have just, somebody could have put football rather than golf. I'm telling you guys.
Golf influenza.
As you can
He's
see,
like,
guys.
Golf influenza.
Across the world, you'll not see a sport that is so widely admired and aspired to.
Again, I've got personal bias. I would not want to hit a ball and chase my own ball.
Okay, but that offers nothing towards the argument.
No.
Look. No.
And the winner is.
And let's get
those guys.
Ben, we've given you your golf moment
for sport of the year. Five nominations, and the winner for sport of the year is.
Goes to the world's sexiest people, athletics.
Okay, we're not mad at that one. Imagine if you guys said golf. Oh my lord!
Let me clap with my golf club.
I feel like the only people that voted for golf was Ben.
No, guys, I get it. You want to take the piss out of me. But if you have a world stance on what brands get involved with, the sheer scale of events, the global presence of golf, the amount of people that really give a fuck and spend money about it, amount of coverage, the amount of content created. I don't need to sell this because I don't need you to buy it.
Ben, we know you love golf.
This is why we have five nominations per category. And athletics, in this case, worthy winners. All right, guys.
If you guys are looking for a spokesman for golf, guys, I've got Mr. Ben.
He's a golf influenza.
We're into the final two categories of the On The Bounce Show Awards for 2024, brought to you by Clipdrift That's Gold. There have been so many That's Gold moments. And I think when it comes down to memes, this is where people really,
this is
really
my favorite
have a good
one.
Time.
Great category.
This is a good one.
Because we all know how it works, right? Man United are shit, but they're not just shit. They then get memed to death. I know, Man United are catching strays all over this episode, but for good reason. Category for meme subjects of the year, number one. Erik ten Hag.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You can't even defend it. You can't say anything.
Erik ten Hag was a fantastic meme subject because, well, firstly, there's nothing really to him. I mean, he was quite a boring Dutch guy. He kept telling everyone to trust the process. He kept blaming players that weren't even there.
Two-time winner at Wembley, but everybody forgets that part of history. Put an asterisk over that. But hey, in terms of social media engagement and the category, I get it. Yeah, we did rip him apart. And there's so many cuts of me losing my mind against.
Exactly. Yeah. So he was.
Don't even lie. You liked and commented on most of those memes.
I mean, it kind of started last year when he lost 7-0, didn't it?
Jeez, Ben, you don't have to remind me about the dark times of our lives.
Why is it so easy to roast United?
What a great nomination for sports meme subject of the year, Erik ten Hag. The second meme subject of the year, now again, 2024, Olympic year, there was so much that came out of it, especially in the meme subject. The Turkish pistol guy, Yusuf Dikic. Everyone will know it, right? Everyone was doing that whole thing. It was like a celebration salute, the pistol dude. There was the contrast between him and the other people who were doing the pistol shooting.
Yeah.
He was so cool.
The way everybody started using it as their celebration.
Absolutely.
That was crazy in every different sport.
So Yusuf was an amazing meme subject nomination, and there was just so many good memes. I mean, this was an interesting category to kind of try to research and put towards the steering committee. Because you get into a rabbit hole of just endless memes.
Yeah.
And it's great. And this is another reason why X is such a great platform.
Yeah.
Because it's just meme central in there.
Yeah, I think his meme transcended sport. And like you've got kids now doing it when they score tries, you know, people when they take wickets.
Yeah.
Even throughout the Olympics, you got NBA players doing that, even though they shouldn't be. But you know, that's a real great, you know, transition. You know, I love that. You know, and also because he's just a weird old guy.
Exactly.
He's from Turkey, out of nowhere.
Like someone's dad that went missing for 2 weeks, yeah. And they saw him on TV. There he is, winning second, a silver medal.
Yeah, so it's like, hey, you came first in the memes.
He's probably the most famous silver medalist in Olympic history.
Yeah.
And memes helped him get there.
That is a very good point.
So those are your first two nominations for Meme Subject of the Year. Number three for Meme Subject of the Year. We love her. We all know her. It's Reagan.
Oh, my gosh.
I think...
This is tight now. This is a real competitive category. Look, now.
Show us your moves.
Eric Ten Hag will feel like a long time ago in this category now.
This is getting tight.
No, this went on and on and on and on. TikTok, Instagram,
everywhere.
Like even Australia was roasting her. Like
Australia roasted her. I mean, it was between a roast and just sheer appreciation for the audacity of this, which makes for perfect memes. Mm. Like the Olympics were already going pretty well, but Reagan and the memes of Reagan took it to another stratosphere.
But like in different categories as well. Like people are using it about their studies. Yeah. People are using it in the workplace. People are using it everywhere. Like that was, that's a good one.
And I tell you what, those memes will live on forever. Huh? Yep. They will live on forever because she just became so iconic.
She's a cult hero, man.
Break dancing iconic.
Nomination number four for the Sports Meme Subject of the Year. Scottie Scheffler getting arrested while going to the PGA Championships.
That was wild. And I couldn't believe it. But I always say, does it beat the Turkish guy in Reagan?
Well, I mean, it's tough. It's a tough category.
It's tough.
But Scottie Scheffler, I mean, he's the last guy you would expect to get married. He's married. Arrested. Funny how those two things go
same,
so close.
Same. Both cuffed.
Wow, that's a strange compartment in my brain.
Both cuffed.
Yeah, Scottie Scheffler, like you look at him and he's like... He's like the prom king. He's the most clean-cut, straight-laced kind of guy. He never put a foot out of... And he got arrested. Like, they put him in an orange jumpsuit.
Yeah, well, back at the ranch.
That was the day we actually met. He literally got arrested, and we had beers for the first time to actually talk about the show. What? And the memes. Because I remember I said to you, this is one of the greatest days of social media ever. World number one Scottie Scheffler got arrested. And the memes just kept going and going. It overshadowed that entire tournament, unfortunately. But that was a really good meme subject. And the fifth and final nomination for the best meme subject of the year, Chelsea's squad.
I think they can win this one. I'm willing to concede on this one. We ripped them apart. That picture of them in
the bus.
In the bus, in the gym. But, oh, they've been so great. I love
Chelsea, but that was brilliant. Like, I even joined in on those memes. They were so funny.
It was basically the preseason. Yeah. It was a meme subject so good that it took all of the shine off, like, preseason camps, away games, whatever it was, new kits. Everyone got speaking about the Chelsea squad. They need a bus just for the goalkeepers. It was so funny and it was just relentless.
This is my favorite category. I'm really curious. I'm not mad.
Hotly contested.
Yeah, I'm not mad whoever wins this one.
So for this category, it was very tight. Mm. Very tight. Votes were close. But the person taking it away for Sports Meme Subject of the Year is Reagan.
No, well deserved, Reagan. We'll be sending your trophy.
No, guys, that went on for months and months.
Still going
and
on.
I
right
feel
now.
Like people remember the like. If there's one thing you take away from the Olympics this year, besides the gold medals, it's Reagan.
It's Reagan and the memes that came out of it. Reagan is the 2024 On the Bounce meme category meme subject of the year winner, and rightly so. Sure, guys. I'll tell you what. We've rattled through this. It's been a nice way to reflect on the year.
Yeah.
A nice way to reflect on the year and obviously to give people their dues.
Yeah.
And there's been so many incredible performances this year. And memes are a part of sports. Losses, wins, personalities, all these kind of things. It's what makes sports so great. And also just makes it so fun for us to actually have a show. And hopefully for you as well to enjoy sport on so many different levels. It's not about whistle to whistle, as they say. It's not just about the games. Sport is life. These people that we are. These people like we're not, like athletes.
Yeah.
All of this comes together to make sports so fantastically special.
And shout out to the watchers and the viewers, guys. Thanks for making the show what it is and watching Ben and Sandile go on about random stuff every Thursday. and roasting Sandile in the comments.
Oh, wow, guys.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he's getting roasted. So we're on to the final category of the year. Now, as I've always said, we don't have guests on the show unless there's a good reason to have them. We're not just going to have someone putting bums on seats. That's not our job. We want to bring guests that really add something to the show, and I feel like this year we did it. So, guest of the year category.
Oh, that's tough, Ben.
We're wrapping up our On the Bounce show 2024, brought to you by Clipdrift, That's Gold, with our guest of the year. Nominations. Number one, Sibo Siso Cotello.
Damn, that...
MP.
Bodybuilder, the Springbok MP. This guy has had
the
a year.
Whole couch.
Yeah, it's literally, he was a giant. Wow.
And a great guy. Love the conversations, love the stories he had to share about like behind the scenes things with the Springboks that we didn't quite know about and what goes into a match day.
Yeah, and that, and we went on, we could have shot for 3-4 hours on with him. That was super, super dope. And his insights into his,
cool
his sport and just generally cool guy.
A gentle giant.
Larger than life cat, larger than life person.
That's tough.
We then had Mpumelelo Mhlongo, who, well, let's be honest, he's the first gold medal from the Olympics we've had in the studio. On top of that, really, really great guy and really cool chatting to him.
Not just that, challenging the Springboks.
And he was just throwing like call-outs.
What a competitive guy. I didn't actually expect that. He wants to go against Cheslin, but I think his story was super dope to unpack. And holding those gold medals up, oh, those medals were... That's something special for me personally.
Yep.
So
we had a gold and a bronze in our hands. It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
You've gone, it's going to be tight, this one.
Nomination number 3-4 On the Bounce, guests of the year, Brian Habana.
Oh,
this is a key moment in Sandile's life.
This is the OG.
Guys, you got to understand how much I love Brian Habana. So he walks into studio and he's just like a guy. He's like one of the greatest wingers of all time, if not the...
Are you blushing?
Yeah. So I couldn't... If you watch that episode, guys, and I'm not ashamed to say it, that was probably one of my worst episodes because I basically said nothing and the time I was meant to say something, I threw Ben off completely. There's probably a clip somewhere where he's
mouth
like,
left open,
he's
drilling
like, my bro,
in
where
awe.
Are we going with this? So he is probably... Yeah, man. And that case question, he really gave me a lot of insight on that. I remember that like the back of my mind, bro. So that's tough. Yo,
I just love the fact that we're talking about the greatest Kez athletes of all time, and you spend so much time telling him why he isn't the best of all time.
You know, I thought I was going to go a different way on that one, but I was just somewhere else in the world.
Wow.
Yeah, that was great.
All right, so those are our three nominations so far for Guest of the Year. Guest of the Year number 4 nomination was Chris Karpinski.
Oh, yeah.
A.K.A. Ben's dad.
Very much Ben's my dad from day one. A guest that he brought something so different. He brought prep. He prepared for the seat. He had insights. He had stories to share from a time far, far ago.
Yeah.
He shared a lot of enthusiasm. He was very complimentary of us. And it just felt like, you know, one of the team.
Yeah, he gave such great insights, man. And the history and all the stuff when we're getting into football. It was so refreshing. Like he could have just gone the whole day with him. And Mr. Karpinski, you're
like
a winner to me no matter
what
happens.
Sitting down with your grandpa and listening to the stories.
And
he
watches every week and he's just like always like giving feedback. So Mr. Karpinski, no matter what happens in this category, you're a winner in my book.
It's a tough category, this one. It really was. Final guest of the year, Obani Bobo.
Yeah.
He was a cool guest because someone I haven't seen in a while. So I actually selfishly used it as a time to catch up with an old friend.
Yeah.
And he was beyond that. It was so great because there's a dude who had a playing career. He then ended the punditry, becoming a dad, seeing where he is in sport right now, a fellow podcaster, an author. He's the kind of guest that I would love to have on the show to really define what the show's about because we want you as a viewer to be able to watch the show every single week. And basically go out and have conversations with other sports fans or to add extra layers to general conversations out there. Obani was one of those guys that I think added so much value. He was a great guest and a worthy nominee for Guest of the Year.
Yeah. Oof. That interview was, if like on behind the scenes, we actually wanted to shoot that episode for much longer. And that's how you know you're in a great, you know, in a great guest because he can talk and he can give it to you and pause, but he can also like give you so much different insights. Like when we were talking about Cam Stalgrad, we thought that we couldn't touch on that, and he went into that just to give you the context of his career. Because, you know, as people in this business, you always try to make your guests feel super comfortable. But for him to get into such a controversial subject and make it easy for us to ask him questions on that, that's probably one of my favorite moments on the show this year. So, oof, this category is tough, damn.
It absolutely is.
And number six, Michaela, being the only female on the bounce.
Okay, well, Michaela wasn't a guest. She was a contributor and very much part of the team.
Yes.
An important part of the team who we love and cherish. Of course, Kooks was another contributor on the show. We absolutely love him.
Oh, my hero.
Maybe next year there's another sort of category just for contributors and people that we love. But we've got to have it up. We've got to have the final winner for the final category of the year.
And everybody's a winner here, guys.
So I tell you what, as again, it's gone down to the votes online. It's gone to the steering committee. It's gone to the votes in the studio. And it's gone to the final say of the department. The On The Bounce 2024 Awards Guest of the Year is...
Moment just for dramatism.
Okay, yeah, shut up.
Chris Kopinski.
Yes! Yeah!
That's my guy right there. Mr. Well Kopinski, done. Well done.
Did bloody well. Goes without saying, of course, he was
no,
a most mature
No, there was
guest.
No gun held against any of our heads in the voting.
It's been a very well-run awards committee, this. It has been. We know we've covered so much for Chris Kopinski to win on the final one there of Guest of the Year. I think it's a fitting end to what has been a phenomenal first edition of the On The Bounce show, brought to you by Clipdrift, because we're all about the That's Gold moments. Guys, my fellow panel, thank you for being here on the show with me this year. The big us on the couch, on the talking points, and to kind of bring it all together with the people who have given us so much joy in these categories too.
Yep.
The first thing I think about is how damn excited I am for 2025.
Oh, it's going to be
for the show, the talking points, all the different things. And to be able to sit here again, like this time next year for the 2025 awards.
Yeah.
It's going to be incredible.
It's going to be absolutely spectacular.
I feel like I've actually run out of words. I mean, this year has been quite draining. These shows at the end of the year have been very draining.
Yeah.
A lot goes into them. But
guys, behind the scenes. You need to see behind the scenes.
I
need to show behind the scenes.
I appreciate absolutely everyone involved in the show. Next week, what we're going to do is we're going to bring you a year in review show, basically, which is like On The Bounce through all our episodes. I'll give the backstory of how Sandile and I met.
Yeah.
Our first pilot episode, which you haven't seen anything from. We're going to show you highlights from the pilot episode.
Fuck, I got some terrible cuts there.
Which was a time in itself.
Yeah.
So that's next week. I hope you're having a wonderful festive season so far. I hope you're having a great time with your friends and, of course, enjoying all the live sport on offer. Next week, we have the year review show. Catch us back then.